pumping.
I have no
A very good morning to you. A happy new year to you. It's great to get the first week of 2017 in. Only 51 more to go, right?
Yeah.
2017 is going to be a very impressive year. We're very, very thankful for this congregation, for all those that come through these doors. It is such a blessing to gather here at Little Swatara. We have a few announcements to highlight this morning. Remember, these are all found in your bulletin. So we just want to highlight the Haiti mission trip. You'll find the names of those that are going on that pink sheet found in your inside your bulletin, but they're going to do a housewarming gift. You know, we're building a house, and there's two families for whom we'd like to bless, and there's certain items in there, like long panels of curtains, Corel dinnerware and silverware, dishcloths, towels, and dish soap, bathroom towels, and washcloths. And also, any handmade items you'd like to donate, you can just contact Ashley Landis or any of those team members, and we'd be glad to get those to Haiti to bless that family that we're building the home for. Two families, indeed. And it is the We Care package time. Every year, the Mission and Evangelism Committee sends out We Care packages. So you'll see on that back of that sheet of paper from Haiti the supplies that they're looking for, and we want to bless our college students. There's five of them listed, but if there's any others we missed, be sure to let us know, and we'll include those in our We Care packages. And we want to highlight next week, we all look forward to the youth soup and sandwiches, so we just want to give you a heads up, soup and sandwich next week. And then you hopefully enjoyed the youth yummies that were there this morning, and we just want to highlight one for committee treasurers, it's the treasury books are needed to be done and placed in the church office. So if you have your treasury books, please put those in the office no later than the 15th or soon thereafter so the auditors can begin their work. And we do thank the auditors for their work every year and everyone involved in the processes of the church. And one final announcement near and dear to my heart, you'll notice that it says a volunteer. We all like to volunteer. So the nursery, either the first Sunday of the month, second service or first service, they look for a volunteer and see Becky Redman if you'd be willing to be a volunteer in the nursery. And that's caring for our little ones who are near and dear to us here at Little Swatara. Any other announcements we'd like to highlight? Men's ministry breakfast, January 28th at 7 a.m. So mark your calendars for the men's ministry breakfast on the 28th at 7 a.m. And that's still at Blue Star Family Restaurant. So 28th. Any other announcements? Let's rise and greet one another. Welcome everyone to this new year as we open with a word of prayer after greeting.
Good morning, everybody. I want to start with reading a scripture here, Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Now for you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Join me in prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for being our cornerstone, our firm foundation upon which we can stand. Lord, I pray that our time of worship would be pleasing to you and that you would open each of our hearts and our minds to what you have in store for this service. We give this time to you. Amen.
Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in
As we are seated, we're reminded that Christ indeed is our cornerstone. In every area of our lives, we find Christ at the center. And when we do that, we're honoring him and we're bringing glory to his holy name. So as we come to this time of sharing joys and concerns, we'll have a microphone passed around. It's a new year and it's a new me, they say. So let's be new in Christ and remind ourselves of the old to be gone and the new to come. So are there any joys or concerns you'd like to share?
I'd like to lift up the family of Lauren Boyle. She's a patient at our dental office, and she OD'd on heroin. She was 22.
Lauren Boyle. Any others this morning?
My cousin Anthony, he turned one last night, and let's just hope that if he gets sick, we just want to lift him up and be happy that he gets better.
His name was Anthony.
Bruce and Jeannie Moore could use some extra prayers right now. Bruce is back at Spancrest and receiving hospice care there.
Thank you.
Prayers for the Dean Kirkup family. Their daughter's boyfriend was killed in an accident on Plum Road. He flipped a load of hay and ended up in some trees and passed away. His services are today.
Any others this morning? Let's pray. Father, we're overwhelmed by the love that you pour out upon your people. We're overwhelmed by the patience you have with us when we struggle in our sin. We're overwhelmed by your goodness and your mercy. And we trust in faith, Father, that your will would be accomplished in each of our lives. We know that your will is pleasing and perfect, but how we are reminded that our will often takes the place of your will. So help us, Father, to be surrendered this new year, to allow the old self to be gone and the new self to come in Christ. We thank you for those that are near and dear to our hearts upon our prayer concerns. We think of Rufus and Dorothy, and we think of Ruth and John, and we think of Carl and Faye, and we think of Earl. We think of Carol and Pete and Bonnie and Amanda. We think of Lauren, and especially today, knowing Bruce is now under hospice, we lift him up in a powerful way, knowing, Father, you are the master physician, and all things are possible through you. We think of Mike and his family, and we think of Lauren, who OD'd, and the family that's affected and friends affected by that. And we know, Father, the hope that we have in you as we face trying times in our lives. We pray we would be a people of sharing that hope with others. We think of Anthony this morning and just pray your healing touch upon his young body. And we thank you for friends that he has. We pray for loved ones that have passed, Lord, and you know the pain and the grieving that we're enduring in this moment. And we especially lift up the Idris family of Dorothy and Phyllis and Terry and Fern and just ask, Father, that your loving arms would be wrapped around them as they mourn the loss of their sister. We pray, Father, for many others who have lost loved ones in the year 2016, and we know your comfort is at hand, but we just cry tears and know that you know each tear that falls from our face. And we just turn to you, Father, and thank you for forgiveness. We thank you that we can be new individuals in Christ. And so we turn to you knowing the cross is before us, knowing the empty tomb is before us, eternal life is before us. And we confess our sins and receive your forgiveness and ask those personal prayers upon our hearts during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, it's our one desire to be able to glorify you. It's our one desire to be able to make your name known. We know, Father, of lost people, even in our own lives, that we just want to be a beacon of light for them, a ray of hope, that they might be able to see that there is more to this life than their current situation. So, Father, help us to just shed love upon others. Help us to be able to comfort others who are mourning and to be able to encourage and uplift one another. For we're reminded that we are God's family and how thankful we are to be part of a family, knowing we care deeply for one another. So we pray that you would be glorified in all that we do and say throughout this year and the remainder of our lives. To your Son, Jesus, we give credit for all these things. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're inviting any team members and team leaders to please come forward. That would be current team members, current team leaders, and those that have been called in the new year. We'd like to have a time of consecration for those team members and team leaders as we start this new year, knowing that you as the congregation have called these individuals. So those who are currently serving and continuing their terms, and then any new team members or team leaders that have been called, we just ask you to please come forward. And Abby, I'm going to ask if we could have your wireless microphone so they could each just introduce themselves real quick and which team they are. So if you're new to the congregation, you can place a face to the names of those that are serving with leadership here at Little Swatara. And we'll start with Pam.
I'm Pam Gerbrick, and I am your moderator. And as my role as moderator, I serve as the head of the council meetings and our leadership team, and I'm here to help us as a congregation as we move forward and continue the work of Christ.
Hello, I'm Diane Yunker, and I am the treasurer and take care of all of your finances.
She does a great job at it.
I'm Renee Brown. I'm on the Christian Education Ministry team.
Hi, I'm Denise Bone. I'm your church clerk. I take all the minutes at the meetings.
I'm Diane High, and I'm chairperson of Music and Worship.
I'm Patty Timmons, and I'm on missions and evangelism team.
I'm Bob Lingle, and I'm on the Stewards and Property Commission.
I'm Wendy Lingle, and I'm chairperson of Christian Ed.
I'm Sandy Manback, and I'm on Christian Ed Ministry Committee.
I'm Deb Yorty. I'm Christian Ed also.
Jim Batts, Chair of Stewardship and Property Committee.
I'm Bud Larimer. I'm part of this stewardship and trustees as well. Property.
I'm Sarah Bryant, and I'm part of the Christian education team.
Denise Christ, I'm on the music and worship team.
And Greg Bryant, music and worship team.
And I'm Matt Christ, I'm your senior pastor. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for this team before us. We thank you for their leadership. We thank you for their guidance. And we know, Father, as we head into a new year, there may be challenges, there may be obstacles. But, Father, we're centering our lives upon you, and we're setting apart each of these team members and each of these team leaders. And we're asking you, Father, to move through them, to allow your spirit to be upon them, that they would be able to know without a shadow of a doubt that you're calling them to this or to that purpose. And we thank you, Father, for those that have served in the past, and ask your blessing upon them as well. But we know, Father, as we head into this new year, we want to be focused upon your will. And we just pray, Father, that through these team members and leaders, your will would be done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, each one. And so as we continue to worship this morning, we recognize that the Lord our God is indeed our all in all. So as we move and breathe in the new year, may we recognize when we're facing troubles, God is all that we need. Would you please continue to worship as we rise this morning and continue? Beautiful singing this morning. We have great reason to celebrate, to rejoice with the Lord this morning, knowing that our mortgage balance is paid in full. The Lord has been faithful. You have been faithful as God's people, and we are so thankful to be able to celebrate that very fact this morning. You also notice a Haiti mission trip update in our bulletin as well. It's to reach our goal of 6,936, and we depart on February 4th, and we're just trusting God to provide for our trip to Haiti and serving those people there. We're so thankful for the gift that God has given us through his son, Jesus Christ, and we come to him during this time and offer the sacrifice of our giving to him as we know he continually provides. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that we know our needs will continually be met. We thank you, Father, that we can trust in you when we feel like the bottom is falling out. But this morning we come thanking you and rejoicing, knowing that we have succeeded in paying off a debt. And we are so thankful for each giver here this morning, the part that they played in that. And we'd continue to just lift up our offering in 2017, Father, that you would be glorified, that we would continue to be overabundant in our cheerful giving. And we know, Father, that you have great plans for us here at Little Swatar, and we trust you in that. And we look forward to your will being done. So thank you, Father, for the abundance that you provide us in our lives. And thank you, Father, for the cheerful givers in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God.
How many of you guys like brownies? Have you ever made any by yourself or helped mom and dad make some? This morning I thought maybe we could make a batch of brownies on our own. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay, first thing in the ingredients, we need a box of brownies. So let's put our box of brownies in. Next, it says we need just a little bit of oil. You think that's a little bit? That'll be good?
No.
That'll work. And then it says we need some eggs. Just a little bit. That'll work. There's one more thing I have with me. Do you think this will hurt it? Some cat food?
No.
Just a little bit of cat food? It won't hurt anything.
That will hurt it.
That'll hurt it? No. It's brown, just like the brownie mix will be. You'll never taste it. We'll add that into our mix. I'm only putting a little bit of cat food in, so you guys won't taste it. It's not gonna hurt anything. It's not a big deal. It's not real. There's cat food in there. Just one little container of cat food isn't gonna hurt anything. Yes, it will. Do you think a little bit of cat food is going to ruin our brownies?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Even a little bit of cat food, it's going to ruin our brownies. Sin is sometimes like cat food. Sometimes you might think just to yourself, just a little bit of sin's not going to hurt anything. Maybe you'll allow yourself to do the little sins. Do you have any idea what the little sins might be? Little things that aren't good. How about some like maybe mean thoughts about somebody? Or if the teacher says not to do something, you do it anyways. Would those be little sins? Yeah. But you know, those little sins can turn into something big. There's big sins too, like stealing, killing somebody. We're not doing those. Those will hurt us or separate us from God. But sometimes the sin is just like that cat food. Even a little bit of sin or a little bit of cat food will screw up everything. We are all sinners. And we know that, do you know that Christ died on the cross so that he can take our sins from us? You knew that? But he still wants us to put up a fight against the sin. And he wants us to not sin. Just so can we try not to sin? It's hard, yeah. But if we repent, then we'll be okay. Well, he'll give us forgiveness. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for forgiving us of all our sins, both big and small. Help us remember that we are all the same in your sight. Amen. Before you leave, I have some good brownies for you. These ones don't have any cat food in them, I promise.
Find the way, bring me back to you.
Presence in this place. Father, we thank you for each person seated in these pews, and we know, Father, that you have a very specific plan for their lives. We pray, Father, in this time as we open your word, that you would reveal to us that which you would have us hear. We thank you, God, for the power that comes through the Spirit. We thank you for the brokenness that you bring in our lives and knowing that you are all we need, and as you draw us close, you put us back together. So thank you, Father, for all the blessings. Thank you for all the challenges that we face in this life. For we know through it all, good comes out of it, and you draw us to you. And it's in Jesus' most precious name that we pray these things. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself, what exactly is sin? Where did it come from? Why is it so challenging to resist? Every day we make decisions. Should I? Shouldn't I? Can I? Can I? Will I? Or won't I? The questions scatter through our brains. What's it gonna hurt? It's not gonna hurt anybody. Why not? Just this one time. I'll never do it again. And sometimes we make that poor decision. But where's the line that says, this is sin, that is sin, and that's not sin? What happens when we sin anyway? Does God truly care about our choices we make? Is there actually this thing called a battle between good and evil? Is it even possible to know good without knowing evil? Are sin and evil the same thing? These are all very thought-provoking questions that deserve our attention. And over the next few weeks, we'll spend time in a series called Conceiving the Deceiver. And this morning, we land in the book of Genesis. Many of us have made that attempt to read through the scriptures. And I'm certain Genesis 1, 2, 3, we've all read and are familiar with. So let's dig right in and take that trip back to Genesis and find out what led to the inception of sin. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." At a quick glance, if we were Adam, we'd have a few questions for God. We may ask, why are you even putting this tree here if I'm not to eat from it? Wouldn't it be easier to have trees I can eat from and not to worry about any I can't? And God, you said this phrase that really has me thinking. What do you mean if I eat from it, I will surely die? And I'm a bit confused. Why is this tree in the very center of the garden? I mean, come on, God, how often is our attention drawn to that very place? It's where the action is. It's where the most popular person is standing. If we're in a stadium, it surrounds the field where the action is. And now, God, that's where you're going to put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? If it's in the center, it's got to have importance. There must be value to it, or it wouldn't be there. Now, we don't have to imagine how the eyes would naturally be drawn to the center. I'm not sure, God, but it almost seems like you're setting me up for failure. So what are all these options about? Why can't we just keep it simple? And friends, the answer is the same for you and I as it was for Adam and Eve. It's what makes our relationship with God so beautiful. You see, Adam and Eve, you and I are given a choice. A choice to obey or a choice to disobey. There's power in choosing. Imagine if every day we only had one choice. That black and blue outfit with the orange socks and the white shoes. That same dry toast and cereal every morning. The same car, same house, the same hairstyle. Could you even imagine not having choice? Adam and Eve were free to do anything they wanted, except eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Friends, why is it when we're advised not to do something, it's the very thing we want to do most? I don't know about you, but people can be told not to drive so fast, not to eat so much, to take it easy with screen time, and it only seems to edge them on even more. We know friends that struggle with drinking, and we tell them to drink less, and they pour themselves another glass. We tell a child not to touch the hot stove, and what do? They reach and reach until their finger gets burnt. You know, it reminds me of the movie Nemo, where his father Marlin is telling him not to touch the boat. We can hear the scene now. Don't you dare. If you put one fin on that boat, are you listening to me? Don't touch the boat. And we know what happens as his friends say, he touched the butt, he touched the butt. If you didn't see the movie, watch it. And then the classic example of Romeo and Juliet. The more the parents interfere with the romantic relationship, the stronger the feelings of love develop. As Mark Twain once wrote, Adam was but human. He did not want the fruit for the fruit's sake. He wanted it because it was forbidden. Like it or not, friends, we're given a choice to obey or disobey. We're challenged on all levels, and for most of us here today, we accept the challenge. Tell me not to eat one more cookie, I'm going to eat 3 or 5 or 10. It seems as though opposites do attract. And that saying of reverse psychology, you know, there's something totally legit about that. But think about this for a moment. If God had not given Adam and Eve the choice, they would have simply been robots, automated beings, mechanical people, simply programmed to do what they're told. Now, some days I think it'd be a lot easier if it were like that. But we all know how much we love the same thing day in and day out. It'd be like ramen noodles every single day of our lives. Now wait, that brings back college. But for us, choice is good. If we were programmed to love God, would that be love at all? I believe we'd all agree that love that is not freely given is not really love. Choosing to love God, choosing to love others carries such significant meaning. It's why God gives man a free will. It allows us to love him willingly, to make that choice. And even more so with the decision to trust and obey each of the days of our lives. How are we doing so far in 2017? You see, God created Adam and Eve, you and I, to be free. able to make decisions, able to choose between good and evil. And to be truly free, we must have that choice. Now keep in mind, there was nothing evil about the tree or even that piece of fruit on the tree. We're all very familiar with the story from Genesis 3, 1 to 13. If it appears on the screen, we know it's from the snake and the sin that we hear Eve saying in verse 6 that it was pleasing to the eye. It's rather unlikely. The fruit in and of itself gave Adam and Eve any further wisdom. Though it probably didn't hurt to have a bit of extra beneficial fiber. But we can't imagine there was anything spiritually healthy. However, we know when that first bite of the fruit happened, that first act of disobedience was spiritually deadly. In verses 7 and 8, we see for the first time, they feel shame. They hide from God, creating this separation. That's what sin does. So much so, separation has been caused that the Lord calls out in verse 9, "Where are you?" And Adam replies in the following verses of his fear for being naked and hiding. And then it gets even more interesting. God goes on to say in verse 11, "Who told you that you were naked?" And proceeds to ask the inevitable, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And hence begins the blame game that goes on to this very day. They conceive the deceiver and they eat. The inception of sin has happened. We now find ourselves as sinners before we have the opportunity to sin. I can't fathom that God wanted Adam and Eve to sin any more than I can fathom God wants us to sin. We can only conclude he longed for them. He longs for us to choose obedience. Yet he knows ahead of time what the results would be. Now I'd like us to think about that word sin and how it enters our minds and follows in our thoughts and words and actions. To do this, we're going to consider a worm getting inside an apple. Perhaps we think the worm tunnels in from the outside, but it's not the case at all. Scientists have discovered that the worm comes from the inside. Wait, what? You might ask, how is the worm getting inside the apple? It's simple. An insect lays an egg in the apple blossom. Sometime later, the worm hatches in the heart of the apple. Then that worm eats its way out. Gross, I know. You'll never eat an apple the same way again. But can we think of sin that same way? Like the worm, sin starts in our heart and it works its way out through our thoughts and words and actions. In our passage, it's evident that Eve was deceived into thinking this sin would be no big deal. But it doesn't stop with Eve. She takes some and gives it to her husband, the scripture says, who was with her. Now, husbands, I need your undivided attention. We need to stand up for our wives. Adam had to have heard what was happening. When this serpent was talking to Eve, trying to deceive her, husbands, we should stand up and speak against the evil in front of our wives. What is all this foolish talk? I know what God said. He told us not to eat from this tree. Now, fool, get out of here. Knowing what he knew, it bothers me that he didn't stand up for her. He didn't say anything. Like us men, he should have honored God by leading his wife. Husbands, you better be paying attention. We need to be our wife's biggest fan. We need to cheer her on to victory in Christ. There's no reason whatsoever our wives should feel defeated in any way. In my own opinion, right here in this passage from Genesis 3 is a defining moment in history that stands out for men everywhere for all time. Don't let the world, or anyone else for that matter, lead your wives astray. We must stand firm on the word of God and spiritually lead as the husband should lead. It's not a task to be taken lightly. We see what happens when this deceiver, this serpent, talks all smooth and cuns Eve into doing something she probably wouldn't have had Adam stepped in. But the question remains, why does God allow Satan to tempt Adam and Eve? Why does God allow Satan to tempt you and I? And friends, the answer remains the same. It forces us to make a choice and to demonstrate our own free will. These words of Genesis 3:1 have probably provoked more discussion among scholars than any other verse in Genesis. It read, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Our question may be, who exactly is this serpent? Was it a snake, as we know snakes today? Is that really the reason I despise and hate them so much? Did it first walk like us and was then cursed to crawl on its belly? They're great questions, but that's not the main issue here. We can only conclude the serpent was wise. He was subtle. He was connected with disorder. And hear me, he was an enemy of God and associated with life and death. But hear me that he was not the only source of temptation. Scholars believe God did not want Adam and Eve to be able to blame Satan for their own rebellion. As it is with you and I, it's a matter of choice. It's a matter of choosing to obey God. Furthermore, they would have no excuse for allowing a mere creature to persuade them to break the commandments of God. We remember earlier in Genesis, they were made to have dominion over the beasts, not to take their own law from them. Adam and Eve's decision is what ultimately requires Jesus to die on the cross and shed his blood for our behalf. We know that it's through faith in Christ we can be free from sin's consequences and free from sin itself. The good news today is that God can see the whole picture. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. The comfort, the motivation to move us through this new year is this, and it comes from Psalm 32:8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." What wonderful news for the year ahead. God's loving eye is upon us. As the praise team makes its way forward, let's pray and let's consider what exact sin we have encountered already in 2017. And as the praise team sings, there'll be a song inviting us to the altar. And during that time, I'd be standing here at the front with Bud as a deacon. And any of you that need prayer, we encourage you. Let's start the new year off right with God. Would you pray with me? Father, move us, stir us, uplift us to consider what has already been conceived in our lives. Sin is a word we don't talk about very often, but a very powerful word that leads us astray. We know, Father, forgiveness is offered through the cross. We know freedom is available to each of us. But, Father, there may be some of us starting off this new year already caught in bondage, not feeling free at all. So as we worship, as we surrender, as we consider the great God that you are, move us, stir us to come to have prayer and to be released from that sin once and for all. We thank you for this first week of 2017, and we look forward to the remaining weeks ahead. May you be glorified in all that we say and do. Amen.
Please rise and join us.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees, your Spirit come make us humble. We turn our eyes clean hands, give us your heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us your heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be the generation.
Pastor Matt, you can go back to the prayer room in prayer. As this final song, it's called "O Come to the Altar." You know, we need to bring our burdens to Christ and give them to Him, and He can carry them. Having the freedom as we start the new year is the best way to start.
The Father's heart.
Father, we thank you that you are a God that knows us personally. We thank you that you have provided a way that bridges the gap between the separation of our sin and you. And we enter this new year with new hopes, with new dreams, with new opportunities before us to make your name known, to make you great in this land. So, Father, I'm praying for each person here in this place. You know the daily struggle they endure, whether it be with health, whether it be with sin, whether it be with relationships. Father, you know all things, and we're laying it all before you. And we're asking you to redeem us, to restore us, to renew us, and give us strength to carry through this new year. Some of the things we're facing could even mean death. But Father, we know that our hope is found in you. So give us strength. Give us encouragement. Remind us of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, who raised from the empty tomb that we might indeed have freedom and eternal life. And we give you all glory and all honor. And we go from this place knowing of our Savior and desiring to make him known. Be our peace, be our guide. Lead us, Father, away from temptation. Help us, Father, to live a life close to you, free from sin. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.